This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. You may know Lake County for Harbin Hot Springs, a place to relax, get centered, or maybe you know it as a marijuana farmland. Or maybe, like a lot of people in the Bay Area, your first association is fire. Two summers ago, Lake County was struck by the third most destructive wildfire in California history.
The flames were coming over the hillside. I thought, being surrounded.
The sky's black and the wind was just nuts.
The vacuum from the fire sucking all the oxygen out of the valley.
We literally came up like on a wall of fire. Basically just says there's no way out.
7 days I didn't sleep for 7 days.
The fire forced Lake County to transform. Close to 2,000 buildings burned. Now there's the kind of housing scarcity that many in the Bay Area know well. In the long run, some residents see the rebuild as a chance to improve the standard of living in Lake County. But others worry the transformation will leave them out. KALW's housing reporter Liza Veal takes us there.
When I ask about the fire recovery, a lot of people point me to one of Lake County's supervisors, Rob Brown. It seems like he hasn't taken a day off work since the fire, 20 months ago. I find him on the main street of his hometown of Kelseyville, and we head over to his SUV for a tour.
Your car's unlocked.
Yeah, I can't lock it.
Why can't you lock it?
I'd lock my keys in it. That wouldn't make sense, would it?
Welcome to Kelseyville.
Yeah.
Not in San Francisco anymore.
No, that's right.
We pull out of the little strip of village and head up into the mountains. It's all green forests. Vistas of the valley sometimes open up into long stretches of bald, stubbly black hillside where the fire cleared its path.
We're going to go where the fire started in general. We're going to show you where a lot of the rebuild is occurring. Just here in three homes, you have a beautiful home, you have a FEMA trailer, you have a modular, and you have somebody living in a camp trailer. Boom, 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 right next to each other.
We're in a steep little ravine with only one road in and out. Rob Brown says the night of the fire, he feared people here would be trapped, so he rushed over. Everyone got out, though, except one man.
He went the wrong way, and he got caught at a gate up here, and perished in there by the
So gate. there was just fire on all sides.
It was everywhere.
That man was one of four people killed by the fire that day. For his day job, Rob Brown's a bail bondsman. He finds people hiding in Lake County who've skipped bail. So he knows every nook and cranny of the region. He's also a triathlete.
And I live off adrenaline. I'm an adrenaline junkie.
So he was up around the clock for a week after the fire, trying to get people evacuated, save pets, coordinate transportation to school, build shelters.
Did it ever feel like a lot of things in your life have been leading to this kind of moment?
You know what? I've said that over and over again. All these things that prepared me for this, you know, I felt like I was able to finally pull all that together for my whole life.
But the longer-term recovery is harder to pull off with sheer adrenaline. The Lake County Sheriff estimates that more than 3,600 people lost their homes in the fire. Almost 2 years later, the county's only issued a few hundred permits to rebuild, meaning a lot of people are still waiting and a lot have moved away. But Rob Brown says if they rush construction, Lake County will miss the opportunity to build something better than what they lost. For people who are still living in temporary housing or staying with family, it's hard to take the long view. 20 months in, Janet Gill still hasn't begun to rebuild the home she lost.
We're standing in my driveway. There is where my house was.
She points to a cleared lot that's grown over with grass. The only sign is the stone deck that's stranded on its own, fitted around a phantom house.
My former husband and I built it ourselves. Anyway, it turned out really nice, and now it's in the trash.
Her dog, Kirby, is busy tromping all over the property. She says she brings him here pretty often. They both like to spend time in their old yard. Janet used to have two dogs.
Another one, I had to leave the day of the fire, so he didn't make it. I still feel bad not trying or something, but
no.
I was running out of time. And then my cat, she died of a heart attack, I guess, in the parking lot the night of when we were in evacuation.
They waited hours in the car to get to shelter. And Janet feels like the waiting process that began that night never ended. See, once residents get through the permitting process, they're competing with neighbors to find contractors and builders whose rates have surged due to high demand. And the third major hurdle, haggling with insurance companies. People here talk about the insurance process like it's purgatory. Imagine something like one endless customer service phone call, only the operators are standing between you and being able to settle into a new life after everything you own burned. And it goes on for 2 years. Janet is spinning her wheels, just about ready to sell the property she loves because she needs to move into a home before insurance expires. At the Twin Pines Casino in Middletown, Jeremy Seary tells me even people that didn't lose their homes feel the impact of the loss.
Fire happened, everything's destroyed, and everyone kind of just branched away from here. You know, it really broke up our ring of friends.
Also, Jeremy lost his job when the place he worked burned down. He joined a program that employs people like him, out of work after the fire.
They're giving these people, they can make $12,000, and it's all related to fire cleanup. And I actually was hired on for that, and it, you know, it was a big help, yeah.
But that's only a short-term gig, and now Jeremy's still looking for work. So he's spent a lot of time at the casino since the fire.
It'll take your money.
Yeah. He says he can win $500 in a day.
It'll lure you back. And then usually in those situations, you'll be coming back like the next day and the day after because you just won all that money. I guess just enjoy gambling.
I see.
Some people have left Lake County, not just because the hassle or the money was too much, but because the place reminds them of loss. That leaves people like Cecilia Nelson, who lives on Cobb Mountain, to feel like they're the only ones keeping memories alive.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order? Big Mac, small fries, cherry coke, and apple pie.
Cecilia had the bad luck of moving her kids into her parents' house just a few weeks before the fire burned it down, destroying everything.
Kids' pictures and videos. I think videos are probably the biggest thing that hurts the most. It's like it's only in my head. I can't ever re-show them.
She's got a girl and a boy, and her boyfriend's daughter is over two.
64. No repeats.
Cecilia got $10,000 in FEMA money, but after buying all new possessions, it's not helping with rent, which has jumped up after the fire.
And your income has to be double to even be able to apply for something, what I'm in.
She works at a dermatology office, and since the fire, she's been cleaning houses on the side. She says the whole county is feeling the rent hikes, not just the areas that burned.
I've heard when people are looking, they're like, well, why is it so high? And they pretty much said that they want to gouge the insurance company.
As in, they think renters can afford higher prices because they have insurance money. But for a lot of people, like Cecilia's parents, insurance ran out months ago. Fortunately, Cecilia won't have to rent for long. She's getting a home through Habitat for Humanity. It's a sweat equity program, meaning if she puts in 200 hours building others' homes, she gets one too. Cecilia says the sweat equity thing comes naturally to the area.
They'll pull together and make sure that everyone has the money to keep going.
Many of those who are underinsured or renting when they lost their homes have had to depend on the community or charities in order to stay in the area. And some people in Lake County say there hasn't been nearly enough help to meet the need. People like the members of the recovery and revitalization group called Valley Fire Phoenix Rising. I met with four of them over homemade blueberry kombucha. Here's Fairlight Algren.
Well, okay, so the thing about Lake County is the beautiful part about it, I think, is its raw authenticity and the fact that it is the last remaining Wild West that we have here, right?
It's the only place we've got in this California where trailer trash can have a lake view.
The only place in California where trailer trash can have a lake view. That's Christine Terrell. And though Lake County is probably not as unique as they're describing it, it does have one of the highest poverty rates in the state.
Lake County is an interesting mix because there's a lot of people here that, you know, they're ranchers' kids and things.
A lot of old walnut farms transitioning to marijuana or just shutting down. And another group attracted to the area by things like Harbin Hot Springs.
Various kinds of counterculture, healthy, run around naked in the hot springs.
Don't say that. There's lots of hippies that are not naked.
The Phoenix Rising Group wants the rebuild to include all of Lake County. Their hope is to build a self-sustaining eco-village filled with affordable, tiny homes. Back on our driving tour, Supervisor Rob Brown says he's not interested in experimenting with tiny homes. He wants to make what he thinks is a more lasting investment in Lake County. Solid infrastructure, brand new nice houses, people moving here to support the businesses and schools that might not survive the population losses from the fire.
Even people from San Francisco, for example, who never even knew where Lake County was prior to the Valley Fire, now they see and hear different stories about it and realize that here's this hidden gem up here that's only 2 hours away.
He predicts that the long-term effect of the fire devastation will be, counterintuitively, that the county becomes a more affluent place.
I think that's what's going to end up happening, that you got a place that people will desire to come to.
As for the Phoenix Rising Group's goal of making it possible for poor people to stay here and live off the land, Supervisor Brown says that's not a top priority for him.
When you talk about poor people, your first image is people that are struggling to try to get by. That's not always the case. Sometimes you have people who don't want to work. You know, you have able-bodied men that are in their 30s that would rather be up all night doing crank than going out and getting a job. And so, ideally, push them out. Get rid of them.
Replace. How do you do that?
Well, anytime you take away blight and you bring in, you know, a higher quality of living, higher standard of living for people, you feel more comfortable, that's going to happen.
But how do you know that you're getting rid of not the, you know, struggling to get by?
No, well, okay, that's the balance. That's where you really want to be careful, because there are those.
The balance between making a comeback from the disaster and making a comeback unaffordable for some of its victims. In Lake County, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.